This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To the Rude Guest Hotline, and welcome onto the show somebody with much needed insight on our A topic of the day, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And it's fitting because a very rude thing was done,
well done
by Kevin Willard, the head coach in Maryland. We made it all about himself a day before his team played in the tournament. And now Scott Docterman, who covers college sports for The Athletic, joins us to talk about his future. Scott, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How's it going today?
Doing very well.
It's fine, thanks.
So let's start with last night's game. Let's talk basketball first. Maryland kind of ran out of gas there against the number one seed Florida in the second half. No shame in their game. They made a run, but what'd you make of the tilt?
Yeah, I thought it kind of played out the way I expected. I mean, Florida's depth is amazing. They're efficient at both ends of the floor. They're one of the best teams in the country in that way, and that's how it kind of played out. I mean, their bench scoring outscored Maryland 29-3. Maryland has a great starting five, which we expected, but just not much on the bench. And, you know, Derek Queen had his typical great game, 27 points, but, you know, just to try to corral six players that were in double figures and that just, you know, hitting 50% from the floor. It was just too much for Maryland to go against Florida. And I think Florida might be the best team in the tournament. Well, we're all talking about Cooper Flagg and, you know, potentially tonight with Auburn and of course the high scoring affair that Alabama and BYU had. But I think Florida might just be the best team in the tournament.
Maryland out-rebounded opponents over the course of the season. I know that's everybody, but even in conference with that rough and tumble Big Ten, they did that. What the hell happened in that regard? I cannot remember a disparity like that, with the exception of one game I played as like a 10-year-old when like the other team had like a 6-footer with a mustache and he got every rebound. But other than that, at that level, I was stunned by that, Scott.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. I mean, to see what it, you know, almost, I mean, more than doubled them up at 42-20. And again, that's just where they are. And then, I mean, surprising in some ways. I mean, they were number two in the SEC in rebounding margin. Maryland was fourth in the Big Ten, and the Big Ten's a very physical league. But they have size, they have depth, they're great. You know, they're coached so well. They're in the right positions, and then they can run when they're in there. It's a really tough team to play against. And then you look at you know, the way that they shot the ball. I mean, when you make half your shots, it's really tough on the opponent just to get into those kind of positions. And you know, some of it involves a little luck, but not a lot. I think in this case, you know, 15 offensive rebounds for the Gators. That's just, you're giving up second chance opportunities on a team that doesn't really miss anyway, and that's too much. So I wasn't surprised Florida won. I thought that Maryland had, you know, the guts to hang around for a while, which it did. It was just when you get in that last 15 minutes and you don't have the bench that they do, then that's really hard to keep up.
Scott Docterman covers college sports at The Athletic. Is Kevin Willard going to Villanova?
Well, at this point, you better. I don't know why you could come back, and I don't know what the advantage is. I mean, to kind of torch the entire college and the system around you. And I mean, maybe he's just too honest, and that's entertaining. And college basketball coaches are way more honest than their football counterparts. But for him to kind of talk about all the details surrounding Maryland and what it doesn't have going into the tournament, and then you know, making that an issue, it kind of took away from the Sweet 16 run. This is the first time in 9 years Maryland's gotten there. Maryland is a jewel basketball program. It is one of the bigger ones in the Big Ten because it's mostly a basketball-first school. And yet, for this to happen at this given time. I mean, I thought it just took completely too much focus off what had been an amazing year. I mean, last year they didn't get, I mean, what, they had a losing record last year, and for them to finish second in the Big Ten and play as well as they did and have one of the most dynamic freshmen in the year, probably outside of Cooper Flagg, the most dynamic freshman of the year, and to have all that focus off the team, I thought it was just disingenuous. And again, maybe he was just too honest, and that's good for us, I suppose, in media, but at the same time, it really took away from what was an incredible accomplishment this year.
Well, it unequivocally did, and the press conference was absurd. But I found it interesting that he was asked last night, would you have done anything differently about the last couple of weeks? And he said no.
Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? I mean, you know, ADs leave all the time. ADs get fired. ADs quit their jobs. They go to other places. And for him to kind of make it like, you know, Damon Evans is a great guy. I've had dealings with him, and he's going to probably do a nice job at SMU, but he's not like somebody you'd say is the greatest AD in the world or anything. I mean, he's, and you're going to find somebody else there, you know, and somebody else is going to take over. And if, I don't know if his end goal is to kind of shame the fan base into spending more on NIL, or if it's to even worse, try to shame the Maryland Athletic Department, which is just, you know, really in tough financial straits, because they're still not fully integrated, invested in with the Big Ten financially, because the entire time when they were an unvested program until the 2020 year, they were borrowing at the rate of almost $125 million in total. And some of that got forgiven. Some of it was more grants, but they're still not invested until 2027. And you're talking about a program that overall has the fewest ticket sales out of any of the public schools in the Big Ten. They make less on their overall tickets than even regional teams like West Virginia and Virginia, let alone say an Iowa or a Michigan State that make, you know, more than double what they do off their overall tickets. So I think, you know, if you're trying to push some sort of envelope with Maryland, I think that's really weak to try to do that. You should try to build it rather than tear it down. And so at this point, I think the only option for him is to go to Villanova. I just don't think that Maryland deserves that, because what happens next year if it doesn't quite work out, or if the football team's terrible or something like that, you're going to have less revenue coming in than you even did this year. And it's going to be hard to keep up. And it's like you're blaming somebody else for your problems.
Scott Docterman with us here of The Athletic, breaking down the Maryland situation. Scott, you kind of touched on it. It's the paradox, right? When Maryland, I'm not telling anything you don't know, but when they leave the ACC with this declaration, we are a football school. Like, I've declared myself a male model. Doesn't make it so. You know what I mean? Like, it has not happened. I don't know that it ever will. And that shortage or that lack of, you know, funding or whatever from the school, I don't know how much that's going to change. I couldn't believe time and a place right there, right? I mean, at some point, I know I've lost a lot of the luster and the illusion that this is actually about kids and developing them and the like, as these guys can go NIL wherever they feel like. But there's still a mentorship role of the coach dealing with 18, 19, and 20-year-olds. There is some semblance of that left. I couldn't believe he chose that time to you know, pour the kerosene and light the match, and then people seemed to cheer for it for a little while. Just what did you make of that reaction kind of initially to it?
No, I thought, again, I just think it was just terrible. I mean, I understand, though, that, you know, maybe he's frustrated. Maybe he's talked about these issues and it hasn't gotten anywhere and he chose to do this. But this is the wrong time for it. I mean, in college basketball, it gets pretty much overshadowed until March, especially with the expanding college football playoffs. It really doesn't get a lot of relevance until a minimum late January. And so for you to do that at this time, when everything is pointing in this direction, when your program has momentum, when there is a heavy interest in you, and the fact that people are looking at Maryland as possibly not only a Sweet 16 team, but as a team that, you know, maybe if they pulled an upset here or there could get to the Final Four, and to take all that and just toss it aside early on, I thought that was just really the most surprising thing I've seen in March in a long, long time from a coach. And yeah, you know, and Maryland can declare it's a football school. That's, I don't think that'll ever be the case. But I mean, they rank last in ticket sales in the Big Ten when it comes to football tickets. They make $7.3 million, according to the last amount of money that I've seen. And you compare that with again, like Iowa, which is almost at $23 million, or Michigan State, which is at 19.6. You can't compete internally for that, and then you're talking about NIL. Well, instead of running it down and what you don't have, you should try to find ways to say, hey, we're a rising program. Look at us right now. We're really building something special. Last year we struggled. This year we're doing well. We're here. We're number four seed. We're coming. You know, support us. Get on our bandwagon now. Instead, if you hop this at effect and you lose your AD, it's just going to make it that much more difficult for people to want to support you.
Scott, so let's think basketball specifically here. Fill in this blank for me. Maryland is a top blank program in America from a coaching standpoint. Where would you put them?
I would say if there's little stability at the top, I think it's a top 20 program. I think it's a top 4 or 5 in the Big Ten. It's proven that. It's won a national title within the last 25 years. It has great crowds, great support in that sport. I've been there. I've covered games there. I've seen it electric. I think that it's got a chance to be a really solid upper-level program. And if you get the right coach and the right stability around you, it could be top 15 to top 10 on an annual basis. But the problem that he did by kind of torching all this is now that there isn't an athletic director, and if he goes to Villanova, who's going to look at that program and say, wow, I can really do something with
that's
it?
That's the other
problem. I hadn't thought of that. That's a good point.
Well, to me, it was the most obvious thing as soon as it became clear that he was leaving is you're talking about how terrible this job is and then leaving the job. So anybody that's considering the job is going, wait, they don't let us stay for overnight at Christmas. They don't do this. They don't do that. So let me go back, though. You say it's a top 20 job in America, potentially. That's high, like, I would have said maybe top 30, top 25 or something. Yeah. But obviously, when you look at the conference, you put Michigan State above it, right?
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Sure.
Like Wisconsin better than the Maryland job? Michigan better than the Maryland job?
Maybe. I would put right now, Indiana is still a blue blood. You have to give it, even though it hasn't played up to its expectations, it makes 50% more in ticket sales than any other program in the Big Ten. And Illinois is number two. So I think you throw in an Illinois, an Indiana, a Purdue, a Michigan State as really probably the foursome that is, I would say, above an Indiana, above a Maryland right now. I would put Maryland in with the football schools like Michigan and Ohio State, Wisconsin. The West Coast is a little odd because, like, UCLA has incredible tradition, but the revenue isn't that strong, believe it or not. And I would say I would put it above an Iowa or a few other schools like that. But then again, Maryland is more than capable of getting elite talent. It has a great recruiting base, an incredible history, a passionate fan base. So it's got all the elements that you need to have success. You just need that stability. And I mean, by taking a torch to it on the biggest stage, it really devalues it. And then if he goes back, if he's able to go back and try to coach this team, I mean, you really hurt your ability to retain your fan base and make them excited about it again. And then you're going to have every other coach working against you. It's like, why would you go there? They don't have money. They don't have this. They don't have that. They make you go home instead of staying in that extra night on Christmas. I mean, I just think it was really shooting from the hip is fun sometimes, and that's probably something that you could talk with reporters about on the side, but don't ever do it in a press conference at the NCAA tournament. It comes back to bite you.
Yeah, listen, 24 hours before you tip off. And by the way, here's all the dirty laundry. Scott, thank you, buddy. Really appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much.
Scott Docterman on the Terps, College Hoops, here on Grant and Danny.